Good morning, everyone. Great to be on this recording with our great colleagues, Dee and Jack from Agar Management Consulting, and my fellow business partner, Andrew from Moonstone. And actually, what we're planning to have a catch-up conversation today, all four of us, was around the topic that we've been sharing for several months now, which is understanding our needs for psychological safety. What makes us feel safe? And particularly with it slanted towards as experienced through the use and the lens of insights discovery, which our colleagues, Jack and Dee, are our experts here this morning on insights. And there are sort of five areas, I think, five questions that we want to sort of bounce around and sort of explore with each other. And handing to Andrew to start us going.
Thank you. So I think one of the first questions is, why is psychological safety so important? And we'll preface that, which is the acute phase that we're now in as of August 2020. But a lot of the work about psychological safety, and we'll talk particularly about Amy Edmondson's work, goes back to the 1990s. Project Aristotle, working with Google in 2016, where psychological safety was one of the key parameters. And so I think that it's one of the recognition now, which is a psychologically safe environment has commercial benefits in terms of challenge, in terms of innovation, in terms of creativity. But it's also poignant and particularly relevant, I think, over the last 6 months as people have adopted and adapted to a new way of working. So I think if we look particularly at the last 3 to 4 months, let's just reflect a little bit on what's potentially shifted. So from our perspective, I think there's three areas that we're seeing, and this is working with a number of clients in all sectors. And one of the first is the uncertainty. Uncertainty about what should I be doing, uncertainty about will I have a job, uncertainty about direction. And that in itself creates tension. If it also coincides with homeschooling, with some other issues, we've heard the word guilt used, which is I feel guilty. How do I balance my need for my six-year-old coming in knocking on the door, and the fact is that we've also got 3 Zoom meetings actually scheduled. So I think there's the uncertainty in itself, the tension that creates. And also the environment, and we'll reflect on this particularly with insights profiles, which is some people have adapted very well to this remote condition because it suits their preferences, it suits their way of working. And others, we've actually heard the word fear. I'm afraid, I'm on my own, I feel isolated. So those are some of the areas that we're going to explore with Jack and Dee on this call. Let me pose a question really, I think, to Jack and Dee, which is, how have you found with your work with clients, how have the different insights profiles, how does the whole concept of psychological safety play out within the insights discovery framework?
I guess one of the factors about insights discovery is self-awareness. Mm. And most people in these last few months have had to dig quite deep and actually have to do a lot of reflection. And I think that's probably been a factor in terms of insights and this current situation. It's about recognizing what works for us, what doesn't work for us, and really having that awareness. So if we just take one of the dimensions in relation to the insights profiles, some of us have got a more introverted preference in terms of how we act. So we like to process information internally. Some of us have got a more extroverted preference. And I think that's been completely fascinating because lots of us have been spending so much time on Zoom or equivalent MS Teams, that sort of thing. And actually I've heard it said that works better for people with a more introverted preference So for example, they're not fighting to get their voice heard. They're not having to be in a face-to-face meeting and trying to get a word in edgeways. They can use things like chat function and have that bit more reflection time. So I think that's one element. I'm going to let Jack come in with one or two, and then I'm happy to come back and some more.
Thanks, Dee.
So I think the sort of concept of psychological safety is a really interesting one. For some organisations, some leaders, it's a sort of phrase, I suppose, which is well known and understood, and for others, less so. I suppose if it's interesting, isn't it, to try and boil it down into its sort of most simplistic facets, if you like. And for me, it's around sort of being able to have honest conversations, to be able to explore things like team dynamics. And I think that's really important. And there is a link here with insights, because I believe that things like insights can really help us to create a shared language. And that's really important when it comes to psychological safety. Being able to have those honest conversations, not just as individuals, but as a team, I think is really, really important. So I think our sort of big focus, if you like, at the moment has been often trying to help teams have those honest conversations, trying to create cultures where it's okay for people to be vulnerable. It's okay for people to ask those difficult questions, or to say that they don't know, or what's the goal here? What are we trying to achieve? And actually that can be quite uncomfortable. And I think things like insights, by having that shared language, can make some of those potentially uncomfortable conversations somewhat more comfortable.
I was particularly struck, Jack, and Dee, but by the work that we did with you recently, where we got people to stand on the insights mat with their own profiles and just talk about what made them safe, and just how empowering that was for a lot of people about the difference in the needs, and just be able to recognise that each other have different needs. And then there was actually some laughter there when people said, ah, now I understand. Could you talk us through that a little bit?
Mm. Yeah, I think that was really powerful. And it's interesting, Andrew, I was struck by the fact that you said that you've been doing this work for some time, because actually that standing on the insights mat happened before we even knew there was a pandemic. And it was really powerful, because what we got people thinking about was what makes them feel psychologically safe. And for anybody who is familiar with insights, there are colours that are assigned to behavioural characteristics, and that's mapped onto a circle with four quadrants. And we got people standing on a floor mat in the quadrant of their top colour preference, simply saying what made them feel psychologically safe. And it was a sort of hair stand up on the back of your neck moment, really, because it was one of those ones where you could realise that for people to identify it in the first instance was powerful. But what they identified as being psychologically safety for them was very obvious in some ways. So they hadn't necessarily thought about it. But it was, for me, it would be receiving praise. That would be a really important thing. And you could almost see other people on the opposite side of the mat in particular thinking, oh, that's an interesting one, because for me, it's quiet time or something. And it was one of the underlying concepts of insights is that we have opposites, and we can work brilliantly with opposites. That's fabulous, very powerful, but sometimes we don't always understand where they're coming from. So I think that was really quite powerful, and I've actually written a small sort of article on it, just capturing the things that people in the different quadrants said. And I've already talked about, for example, praise versus, in inverted commas, quiet time. There's also the other opposite dimension. One of the things that was mentioned was reassurance for one group of people, and their opposites were saying, not being directed, I want to stay in control. And I guess that leads me on to something I really wanted to talk about. So we do a lot of work with the University of Exeter on insights. It's definitely one of the shared languages that Jack talks about. And one of the senior leaders there said to me that she didn't feel she could have got through the pandemic or coronavirus without insights. And her statement was, she'd seen the best of behaviour and the worst of behaviour.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things about insights is we help people to have that self-awareness, hopefully. But we also recognise that there's good day behaviour and an overused strength, which is a very polite way of saying it, which can become bad day behaviour. And, you know, I'll put my hand up and know that I've shown some bad day behaviour definitely during these last 3 months. And I suspect most people have. And again, I think just that awareness for us as individuals, and I know we're going to talk more about leadership as well in it, I think could be powerful.
I think those bad day behaviours, Dee, isn't it, is when perhaps we really need to home in on our self-awareness, because that is that trigger that's taking us out of being best self and being most resourceful, and it's going to get in our way. But of course, we're human beings, and that is instinctive. We are going to have that mix of the good and bad. But it's, like you say, it's having that awareness of when we've tipped over and what's our strategy. How do we need to be to bring us to that point of the good day in terms of how we are?
Well, I was just going to say, I think that the sort of the phrase that Dee and I have used a lot during lockdown is intentional. That leaders need to be intentional with what they do, and that for me is linking back to what we've been talking about around self-awareness. You know, understanding where our strengths lie, understand where our challenges lie. Being intentional with our decision making, being aware of how we're being perceived or how we need to be perceived. And I think it's, you know, again, it's a kind of key emotional intelligence sort of skill, if you like. It's something which is well known, isn't it? But that pandemic has, you know, created that situation, like Dee said, where it brings out the best and the worst. And that's at all levels of the organization. That can be our sort of senior leaders to our most junior sort of colleagues. And I think that sort of intentionality is really key to understanding and being in control, if you like, with our behaviours. And I think that's been absolutely fascinating to see how that's played out particularly during the pandemic.
I think when we see that within a, you know, that self-awareness, but it is also that team awareness. And it's like Dee, you were saying, it's those moments where other people see, particularly when we're doing that physical sort of standing on the mat exercise, but it's that understanding of, okay, if this is what's important to me to be psychologically safe, is one thing, and I know how to, but it's that respect for and that knowing of where others are and what part I can play. Mm. In supporting them with having their needs or having those conversations, Jack, that you said about, actually, I don't know if that's going to be possible to the degree that individual needs that element. Because then it's about saying, actually, there are going to be times where we are going to be uncomfortable, but it's how we can still get across that we still value them. We can't produce, we can't give the input to get them on that degree. I was coaching somebody yesterday with one of their team members, and they're saying they're really anxious, the anxiety, but I know I'm unable as their leader to provide what is necessary to remedy. So we were looking at a holistic thing. There's a bit that you can do as their manager, but where else can they get that from their support network? Or outside of the working environment to help with that?
And I think that brings us on to the next question. So I think a couple more questions now, which is really, we talk about sort of self-awareness and the whole thing about intent. So if we follow the analogy of the health and safety regulation, which is there's a responsibility on the individual, and there's a responsibility on the organisation, the employer. So let's just explore a couple of lenses. Firstly, given potentially more awareness through profiles like Insights, where do we see the responsibility of the individual to articulate and to take responsibility for making themselves psychologically safe?
And it's a really good question. And I think, you know, that there is that sort of dual responsibility, one would hope. In some ways, what we're talking about now, we're almost making the assumption that within all organisations, there will be a degree of psychological safety where difficult issues can be explored, where healthy conflict can be aired. But that's not always going to be the case, is it, you know, within some organizations or within some teams. but let's take that as a sort of a foundation point, if you like, for the conversation, that within all organizations there will be a degree of psychological safety. For me, I think a lot of the work that we've been doing recently and you know, over a long period of time, really, for many years, is working with organizations to create a culture where psychological safety, having those conversations around psychological safety, about what makes you as a person or you as a team psychologically safe, is the norm. And that still, for me, is still a work in progress, because there are still so many organizations where those sorts of conversations are not the norm. So for me, I suppose, from an organizational perspective, creating the kind of culture where psychological safety is discussed, where team dynamics are explored, where conflict is healthy and not left to fester, all of those sorts of things, I think, are really sort of key. And then the sort of second responsibility, like you say, Andrew, I think is when there is a culture which allows those conversations to take place, of course, it then the responsibility comes from the individuals to be expressing their thoughts and feelings about what makes them psychologically safe. And then as a team leader or as an organizational leader, addressing and actioning those kind of concerns or those kind of thoughts and feelings, I think is a really sort of fundamental part of building trust within teams. So it's all kind of in this really interesting sort of mash, isn't it, of organizational and individual. And I think sometimes it's quite difficult to unpick where the responsibility lies or what comes first. It's a little bit chicken and egg sometimes.
Yeah, and I think it is really hard. It was a brilliant question, but the answer isn't 2 + 2 = 4. It's a really challenging one, isn't it, of how much responsibility there is for the individual and the organisation and the leader. But I think that I personally believe we do all have a personal responsibility to try and enhance our self-awareness and work out what's going on for us. And I often use a really simple model, and I've found myself using it a lot during these last 3 months with clients. Probably should have been using it with myself as well. But it's the concept that there will be triggers. You know, there will be triggers that push our buttons based on, for example, things like our insights colours. Those buttons will be different. You know, so is it that something's got to be done correctly, or is it that something's got to be done inconsiderately or quickly, or, you know, that those sorts of things. But we can't rid the world of triggers. Actually, it's a more complicated discussion, but we also potentially have a very basic emotional response to those triggers. I always say it's hard to stop that, but what we can be intentional about, to pick up on that word that Jack and I are using a lot, is our behaviour.
Yeah.
So if we, you know, I think that personal responsibility for trying to identify what triggers us, to acknowledge and notice the feelings we experience, and then to be intentional about our behaviour, then we can potentially impact.
Because that's, you're right, isn't it? That's the bit that we have, in uncertain times, that's the bit that is the only bit we have control over, is our intentions of how we, you know, the choices that we then take in terms of how we show up, you know, that our attitude, our mindset, it isn't necessarily easy in certain times, and we can quickly go to that it's a bad day behaviors, but actually we do have that choice, and it's how we create, isn't it, that have that initial awareness, know that trick, but create a gap for us to be able, as opposed to react in those situations, to actually respond in an intentional way about how we want to and what is needed here. What is it that can be my gift to this situation? How do I need to be before, what is it that I need to do? It's that being and that whole thinking and mindset bit first.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the really effective teams will be the ones where that open, honest feedback is part of the norm. Yeah. You know, I can think of many an occasion where D has challenge me rightly. You know, we will have conversations, won't we, Dee, where, and I can think of a situation recently where Dee has said to me, you know, are you challenging for the sake of challenging, or, you know, what's your end point here? What are you trying to get to? And it's the sort of question that sometimes stops you in your tracks. And of course, then you have the sort of intentionality, don't you? You have the choice to make. Is it something which we get defensive about? Or is it something which we embrace and we stop and we think and we, you've got a point. And I think that that ability for teams to have those open, honest conversations is so key. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, again, our belief is that insights enables those conversations to take place. You know, it creates that shared language where it becomes easier to have those open, honest conversations. I think it's so, so fundamental. And I think, yeah, if we look at all of the work that's come out from Project Aristotle, the sort of Google study, all the work from Amy Edmondson, you know, a lot of focus there around things like team dynamics, open conversations, honest conversations. Yeah, really interesting.
And I think that's the responsibility, isn't it, as of us as leaders. You know, if we go back to what was the question posed in terms of, you know, creating that environment, you know, building that culture, as Jack, you mentioned earlier. I think that's our responsibility as leaders, to actually, you know, create that environment where people can have those conversations, where the needs of each individual and team's psychological safety can be unearthed, if you like, and shared in a way that isn't seen as a weakness, but actually is a positive showing of perhaps vulnerability. This, you know, this is what I need. I'm, you know, and actually expressing that in a positive way.
I think it's really interesting, isn't it, just picking up on what you just said, Jan, and what you said, Jack, because Jack and I had a very quick pre-meeting about some other stuff before we joined you. And without making it a big deal, I've actually got I haven't got a phone at the moment, and it's actually, I haven't had one for 48 hours, and it's all a bit stressful. And I think because Jack knows me well and knows what I need, he was so brilliant at just letting me do the, I just need to offload about the fact that I've got this phone challenge. And he just listened really well and was really understanding. And I reflected afterwards in the period between coming off that call and joining this one, that was a real classic psychological safety thing, actually. You know, it wasn't, and I think because he did that, I felt then able to really get on with the work in hand. But I felt really respected about, this is bothering me, this is how I process it. Yes. And it was, you know, a really respectful response, and a one that worked for me because of my preferences.
I'm wondering that, again, taking the lens of insights, there is something about being heard, and particularly, I suppose, what I'm interested in is, given the challenge of remote working, given the challenge that the world is shifting, how can we potentially use some of the conversations about culture and about insights to ensure that people feel heard?
I think it's I'll pick up on it first. I think it's a really interesting one, isn't it? And I'm doing some coaching with a senior leader at University of Sheffield, and we actually have done some insights work. She knows the insights preferences of her team. But actually, we had a coaching conversation about saying, how about asking people what they need in this situation? Mm. You know, we don't have to be crystal ball gazers as leaders. Actually opening up that conversation feels really powerful. So within the context of people knowing their preferences, the leader knowing the preferences, but actually, what do you need when we have our regular catch-ups? What's going to be important to you? Is it going to be that you can talk about the guilt you've been feeling about 6-year-old wanting to come in and chat to you and you've got 3 Zoom meetings? Or do you want to get straight down to business? And what sort of, do you want the notes of the meeting? What structure do you want them in? And so for me, I think with the foundation of the preferences in terms of insights, it's great, but we shouldn't ignore the fact that actually asking, communicating is a really key element within the context of what you're saying, Jan, which is we've also got to be able to say, that's what you'd like, it's not possible, where's the compromise?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's that for me. Yeah, Jack, sorry, were you?
Well, I think sort of touching upon that, Dee and I have been exploring the work of Eddie Obeng. So I don't know if anybody is familiar with his work, but he talks very much about the sort of pace of change potentially outstripping the pace of learning. And we've been supporting, you know, organisations, teams and individuals to be thinking about that. And I think it's really relevant when it comes to the challenges that, that people have faced from having to be forced to work from home. And there is a, for me, I believe as leaders, as organizations, there's a responsibility to reflect, to understand what's happened for people, for their team members during the sort of pandemic and the lockdown. And some of that is very positive. You know, we've heard things like our clients saying, you know, they've moved almost overnight at a pace which perhaps would have taken them 10 years previously, you know, even just from a technological perspective, but also looking at things like how people work in the future. You know, that the world of work, I think, is going to look quite different. And there are huge positives to it, but there are also obviously challenges that, that we're all facing. Particularly linking back to what Dee's talked about already from the insights kind of perspective, just, you know, as somebody who I know is an extrovert, I find working from home a challenge. I crave variety and not being able to do that can be really challenging for me. I don't feel like I'm always working at my best when I don't have that. And sometimes it's around creating opportunities for yourself, isn't it, to get those needs met. But also just that real fundamental point of understanding what our needs are. And that for me is where insights becomes, you know, so powerful, linking back to things like psychological safety, but linking back to just knowing ourselves better and understanding ourselves a little bit better. And again, as leaders, for me, that's gold dust. If I understand what my team needs from me, if I've taken the time to explore that, and, you know, and done that whole reflection piece about the impact that COVID and lockdown has had on us as individuals and teams, I think it's huge. There's potential gold dust to help us in the future. You know, again, whatever that working world looks like, and I don't think that's fully formed yet in terms of our understanding of what that's going to look like. But for me, that fundamental reflection on what's and what we've learned, if you like, during this process is so important to help us to understand how we're going to respond in the future, particularly when it's so uncertain.
Okay, I'd like to just pick up that little bit of point about both from Jack and Dee about how this impacts on leaders. So looking at a lot of the background and a lot about the research, one of the ways in which a leader can create a psychologically safe environment is for themselves to be vulnerable and to also to admit they don't know and to admit to mistakes. How would the insights profile support leaders in those particular areas? Being vulnerable, I don't know, and admitting mistakes.
That's interesting, actually, because most people we work with are very familiar with the Insights Discovery personal profile, and Insights have just made available to us a new profile called Transformational Leadership, which is quite fascinating, and it's fairly new to us. We've been working with it, and it talks about 8 dimensions of an effective leader. So things like agile leadership, for example, as being one, fostering relationships. But the way it works is people have a profile based on their original insights profile, and it talks about those 8 dimensions and in effect what the natural strengths would be, and probing questions about where there might be a need for stretch. And we've just literally just done one with the senior leader at the University of Exeter that I was talking about earlier. And I met her last week, and she was saying how helpful it has been already just looking at it, because what she acknowledged was, you know, at not least at her stage of her career, some of the natural things she's good at are in the bag. But what it's actually encouraging her to look at is that what's actually needed at this time? Are there things that you could develop and stretch yourself with that are actually going to be more important to do in the current situation? And I think that that stretch and probe and getting people to think about that intentionality again,
yeah.
but
yeah.
with some tools and some challenge, really, I think could be really helpful. Does that answer your question, Andrew? And Jack, you might want to come in as well, I don't know.
Well, I think it's, again, I just think the sort of challenge of leading remotely is a really interesting one. You will see some leaders have sort of almost become entrenched, if you like, in their ways. Oh, this is my belief, and I suppose some of what we've witnessed firsthand. You will see some leaders who become very entrenched in their approach. Again, you could call it overused strength. We could call it bad day behaviors if you like, but our go-to, and actually that's not always, like Dee's alluded to, what's going to be needed at that particular time. And I think remote working, again, in some ways has really sort of brought that to the fore, because people are having to be so much more adaptable probably than they've ever had to be. They're having to meet so many different people's needs. And again, the sort of challenge of remote working is really just brought to the forefront as well. For me, the challenge of having to try and balance your family life with your working life. And that's going to affect us as leaders, as any, you know, any level of the organization. But it's just, for me, really sort of highlighted how some people, some leaders have really sort of shown that adaptability in meeting other people's needs, not just work needs, but personal needs. And some haven't, and some have struggled. And again, I just think, you know, that better understanding of ourselves is just so important in highlighting what we're doing well and what we're not doing so well. Yeah. And not having the answers is okay. I think sometimes we'll see our sort of leaders feel like they have to know it all, or they feel like their teams need them to know it all, and we can't. At times there is educated guessing, there's hypothesizing, and that's good. that's perhaps what we can do. You know, the conversations, and Andrew and I have talked about this in the past, and Andrew, feel free to jump in, but the ability for us to do long-term strategic planning has almost got out of the window in some ways. I just find it really interesting how some leaders have really adapted to that well and others less so.
The vulnerability question, just I think, is a really key one, and I think it's something that we've been working more and more on the last sort of year or two. But actually, vulnerability is a strength. Yeah. But, you know, potentially the culture we've been brought up in is that vulnerability isn't a strength.
You don't show that. You don't show your vulnerable side. Yet what research is showing more and more is that is what engages others. Yeah. And that's what you then get, and it's one of those, you know, if we're looking at the growth going forward from this COVID-19 era, that's one of, if you like, the traits that leaders need to be able to embrace, and it's that empathy and that compassion along with it. It's not the tell or the predict and control. It's very much sensing and responding, and Jack, you know, that hypothesizing about what's possible, you know, what can be achieved. And there's an element I feel as well that the past does tell us something, but actually if we always analyze the past to predict the future,
yeah,
as we've shown, that isn't gonna work. We need to open up the whole conversation, and links back to the culture of let's have a culture of possibility.
Yeah.
Can be based on where we are now. And listening to the Today program this morning, and one of the scientists there saying, you know, it is about that iterative, that evolving state. We don't know all the answers now, but by asking and researching in the right areas and testing and trialing, we will get an outcome. Yeah. And then we'll build on that outcome for an even better outcome. And so that goes on. And I think that's where leadership really needs to be at this juncture, I feel.
And again, so many links to psychological safety there in what we've just talked about in terms of being vulnerable, in terms of the sort of human skills, if you like, of being curious and being vulnerable to share that we don't know what the future is going to look like, or that we don't know how to respond to this situation because it's completely new to us. And again, I think that is a skill which is not something which we've always encouraged in our leaders. And I think that's fundamentally shifted. And this is not something which is brand new. This is not just as a result of COVID. This is something which has been in years of sort of progressing, hasn't it? I mean, it's being human.
Yeah. Andrew, you know that mantra that we've used on several programs over the years that we've been working together about, that three part about dealing with the situation or looking at a scenario. What is it that I do know? And I'll let you continue with that mantra.
Yeah, that actually came, and it came from some advanced motorcycle training from the police. And the analogy is, as you come up to a blind bend, the question is, what is it you can see? What is it you do know? And that is the building the acuity to sense, to be aware of some of the dynamics. What don't you know? And that admission that actually I don't know what the future is going to bring. I'm not sure, in itself, that links into our earlier conversation about vulnerability. But it's that third part of it. So based on what I do know, based on what I don't know, what can we reasonably expect to happen? And to be able to then respond. So we are building a hypothesis rather than a plan. And so that is something which we will explore with Jack's input about the work that we're doing around strategizing in a follow-up session. So please feel free to join us as we talk about the future of strategy. And also another part of the work that we've been doing with Jack and Dee is very much working about team dynamics and culture. So two follow-ups coming from us, working hypothesis with strategy and team dynamics and culture in uncertain futures. So I'll just hand back now, if I can, to Jan. Just to bring things to a conclusion.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. And thank you for those who've taken the time to join us and listen to what we have to say around the topic of psychological safety. And if you need or would interested in obtaining more and following further into psychological safety in uncertain times, email us at info@moonstoneassociates.co.uk. Thank you for joining us.